Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
It's a very, very, very positive and exciting day. It is a day that we stop for a moment, look at the achievement and celebrate. But it is also, it doesn't mean that there aren't some important things to talk about. An article appeared in the Daily Maverick a few days ago. And the headline is Mexican journalist arrested in South Africa for allegedly flying a drone over a Jewish college. In a hawks and crime intelligence operation, two Mexican journalists were arrested in Johannesburg because they allegedly flew a drone over a Jewish college in contravention of civil aviation laws. So a very, very strange, strange story. Julio Ibanez, I don't know how, my Mexican is appalling and I do apologize to all the Mexicans. He's a sports presenter up until recently was prolific on social media, and Danny Garcia, they were arrested in a dramatic hawks and crimes intelligence operation on the 19th of March, so just over a month ago, and released on bail 6 days later after appearing in the Hillbrow Magistrate Court where they were charged with contravening the Civil Aviation Act. A bizarre story. Two Mexican journalists arrested in South Africa after allegedly operating a drone over a Jewish college in an incident that sparked significant security concerns. Well, let's talk about that. Let's try and understand what actually happened, what we know, what the concerns are, what it likely means. Joining us this morning is Stephen Goldberg, chairperson of the CSO. Good morning.
How's it, Howard? How are you doing?
I am doing well. Chag Ha'atzmaut Sameach to you.
Thanks, Howard, and to you as well.
Yeah, yeah. You could just say back at me because it's a lot of tongue tying stuff there. Right, let's just talk about this incident. What do we know?
Well, there were two Mexican journalists. Mm-hmm. They parked their car outside a Jewish school and they flew their drone over the school. Now, from a security perspective, an unauthorized drone flight over a school for any reason would cause concern. We picked this up and we followed it up. It's not something that we want to leave. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it could
so
be...
So CSO picked this up?
CSO picked this up. Mm-hmm. We made sure we worked out who the people were. And I suppose at this point, we still don't know exactly why they were there and why they were flying the drone. But flying a drone over a Jewish school would always be a concern. Mm. Now... it could be nothing, it could be something, it's not clear. But what's good, what I take away from this, is our security structures work. Someone flew a drone, which is, again, a security concern.
Yeah, I want to ask about that, but we'll come back to the legality of that.
We caught them, we found them, we reported them to the state. The state took it really seriously and the state acted. And I think, let's say, regardless of why they were doing what they were doing and what it's all about, which we can come to, the fact that our system works and that the security structures worked, that we caught them flying the drone, we found them, and the state did what they have to do, I think should be very heartening for the community and actually for South Africa more broadly.
Absolutely, because it's that full circle. It didn't rely on... it didn't rely on CSO to continue with that process. CSO was able to identify it, hand over the information to the state, who actually did deal with it.
100%. And I think also what informs this type of issue would be making sure we learn the lessons of history and the lessons of October 7. So if you look at what happened in Israel... There was Hakol Yeh Beseder, everything will be okay, don't worry, it's all fine.
They would never.
So we don't take that approach. Maybe it's all fine, maybe everything's fine, perhaps even sometimes we could be accused of overreacting, but much rather be sure the community's safe, much rather be thorough and complete in what we're doing than take chances with the safety and security of our community.
Tell me about the regulations, civil aviation rules in terms of flying a drone. What are the regulations here?
So I'm definitely not an expert.
No, we'll get one on for sure.
But yeah. Let's say conceptually, You can't fly a drone without a flight plan, and you can't fly a drone unless you have a license to fly a drone. There's certain areas that are more sensitive than others. So, for example, if you're in the flight path of an airport, which I believe Yeshiva is, then it would be more problematic to fly a drone in the flight path where there might be passenger airplanes or something else flying. Mm. So, I mean, basically, you have to file a flight plan. You have to be licensed and it's regulated. And to the extent that you don't do those things, you're breaking the law, which is what happened here.
And I would imagine even more so over a school where there are minors, where there are their children, surely that is even more problematic.
So I'm not sure from a legal perspective, but certainly from a security perspective and from our perspective, it's not something we would tolerate. Schools are very sensitive. I'm saying there's absolutely nothing more important than the safety and security of our children. And from a CSO perspective, there'd be absolutely zero compromise on anything related to that. So to the extent we find anything or there's anything to deal with around the safety and security of schools, there literally are no limits in terms of the measures that we would take to make sure they're safe and secure. We'll follow to the ends of the earth.
What do we understand about motivation here? They are Mexican journalists. Had you said, you know, something a little bit more predictable in terms of Jewish antagonists or those, it would have in a way made more sense. When I hear that they were Mexican journalists, it confuses me.
Again, I'm now in the realm of speculation.
Okay, there's
a range of possibilities that it could be, ranging from two guys decided to fly a drone over what appeared to be an open space to them, and they made a mistake on the one extreme, all the way through to, you know, Mexico's notorious for drug cartels, notorious for that kind of organized crime thing. We know that there is a nexus between organized crime, drug cartels, and terrorism. And again, I'm absolutely not saying that this is the case. I'm speculating. I don't know. But anything between really the most innocent and the most nefarious are all possibilities under the circumstances. And at this point, we don't know what is the answer over here.
Are we likely to know?
It's difficult to say. I think to the extent that they are still in the country and that they appear in court again, I think there's a chance that some of these things, their motivation, what's going on, might become public. To the extent that they're not in the country, probably would never know. We'll have to see.
I think I also read in that article that there were visa issues as well, which also added to the concerns. I think that was a statement by the state, and I think that also bothered them.
To the extent that they are in South Africa with any kind of irregularity around their entry documents, that would obviously heighten concerns. And again, that's something we'd have to look and see what comes out.
So an obvious question is, this happened on the 19th of March. It's published on the 19th of April in the Daily Maverick. Was there a reason, is there a reason that this wasn't updated? Or the community or people weren't aware of this?
So I would say no particular reason other than we don't update the community for everything that goes on. There's events going on all day, every day that we're dealing with. There's a system that works. In this instance, the system worked. We don't actually have the answer of what they were doing and why, and the range of possibilities is quite wide. So to come to the community and say, look.
Well, say what?
Someone flew a drone. And
what do we need from you? Nothing different to what we needed the day before, I suppose.
What we try and do is update the community for things that can inform the community's worldview or inform their behavior, given the environmental changes in environment. And I don't think those things apply under these circumstances. And again, going back to the beginning, I think that what this proves is that the system works.
100%.
So I would encourage the community to keep calling in anything that's suspicious, not to hesitate. Phone the CSO, phone our call center, 24/7, 365. And it's the community's involvement and proactive understanding of security that actually makes our community safer.
So it's so interesting because I always want to tell people, don't do what I do. Don't do what I do, which is if I see something, I almost find a logical explanation for it to settle my brain and then I carry on. So I would say, oh, it's probably a kid just flying a drone.
Well, even if there is a logical explanation, it might be worth it for us to know about it. Even if
that
there is
also true. That is absolutely true. Because then somebody else might call it in, and you already know. But what I've done is given my own explanation. That might not be the explanation. Just hand it over to people who actually know what they're doing is really what I'm saying.
And I'm saying that applies at all levels. So we encourage the community to hand it over to the CSO. And when the CSO exhausts our capabilities in terms of what we can and can't do in investigating something, we in turn hand it over to the state. And as we saw in this instance, the state absolutely did admirably. They did exactly what they needed to do. They acted fast. They acted efficiently. They did really everything they had to do. Kula kavod to them, and I think we can feel very comforted by how this whole thing worked out.
Talking about comfort, we obviously are living in a very uncomfortable world. Jews around the world are all experiencing things to a greater or lesser extent. How nervous should we be as a community?
So talking in the realms of emotion and nervousness, that's difficult for me. My answer is I don't think we should be nervous. I think what we should be is vigilant. I think we should be aware. We should be a little bit street smart. We should understand that there are threats to the Jewish community, but it's very important that we have perspective around those things. So what it means is we need to go about our daily life, but we should have our eyes open. It means that if we see anything that even vaguely looks suspicious, we should report it to the CSO. In South Africa, we're really blessed by having strong security structures. We've had crime as an issue in our community for many years. That's hardened our community. And it's really important that we we're vigilant and that we're not naive, but that we're not nervous and that we get on with our lives.
Right. So the point is though that maybe. I mean, you're saying don't be nervous. I might disagree with that. I think it's okay to be a bit nervous. I think that's the human condition. That's the Jewish condition. It's why we've survived, those of us that have, thousands of years, is because we have a little bit of healthy nervousness. I think our neuroses, maybe I've got an extreme dose, but aside from that, most of us have it more or less within check, maybe with a bit of medication, but that's an aside, I think that's just our reality, is we have to make peace with knowing that when we celebrate the hell out of things, even if we are a little bit nervous. When we go to a function, we damn well go to that function and be there and don't let somebody else win by telling us that maybe you should be a bit nervous to go.
I think that's right. If you have a look at Al Al as an airline, everyone's very, very comfortable and actually more comfortable to fly Al Al, even though it's probably the most threatened airline
it's
in the
so
world.
True. It's a brilliant example.
And the reason why is because the security is also the best. And I'm saying that should be how we take it. Yes, yeah. There's a threat, and yes, there's no doubt that the Jewish communities across the world are under security pressure. But it shouldn't stop us from doing what we're doing, because certainly in South Africa, and certainly speaking for the CSO, we absolutely have got this. And to the extent that we are unable to protect something, we will tell the community we are unable to protect it and it shouldn't go ahead. And I'm saying I think there can be comfort taken from that.
Huge.
If we can protect it, it will go ahead. It should go ahead. And to quote you, we should celebrate the hell out of it. It's right. We deserve it.
Yeah. Left field, was there any update on that strange situation with the device last year?
So it would appear that the device was not a viable explosive device.
Okay, that's good news.
From a CSO perspective, we can't fully and finally close that issue until we get a report from the Hawks closing it, which we haven't yet received. But at the moment, we're not concerned about that. And from a CSO perspective, we're not taking it any further. It would appear that it was a very unfortunate series of events that led to a device that looked very, very much like an explosive being in the wrong place at the wrong time.
So I'm just looking at quite a lot of messages, and I apologize, I'm not going to have time to go to them. I do apologize for that. I'm just not going to be able to get to all of these messages. But in the last few minutes that we have, in the last 2 minutes, give me, if you don't mind, an overview as to where we are, and it might be repetitive in terms of some of the things that you've said, but that's okay to hear these things again because we are living in uncertain times. Give me an overview as to where you see the community with regard to security.
So our community is a strong and resilient community. Our community understands that there's a threat, not a specific threat to South Africa, but a global issue around Jewish communities. There's a global increase in both anti-Semitism and attacks against Jewish communities. From a purely South African perspective, we have a very strong CSO. We work very closely with all the relevant role players around security in South Africa, from private security companies in our areas all the way through to the state. The community is a key role player in making sure that the community is safe. And what I mean by that is it's safety and security is the responsibility of each and every member of our community to see to say something when they see something, to report things, to be proactive, responsible, and involved members of our community, to make sure that the correct information gets spread, the wrong information, inflammatory information doesn't get spread, that people are not part of the rumor mill. And net-net, I would say our community is threatened in the same way as many of the other communities are, but we're much safer than many of the other communities because the leadership of our community over more than 30 years has made the correct investments in security. They've had the foresight and the vision to make sure that come what may, the South African Jewish community has the wherewithal and the infrastructure to protect ourselves, and it's on their shoulders that we're standing. We're very, very lucky that those people came before us, and my message to the community is we have an unbelievable community, a beautiful and unique Jewish way of life in South Africa, and we should not compromise on those things except under the most extreme of circumstances. The CSO is watching this. We've got it. And at any stage, should we believe that the community needs to be aware of something or change behavior or do something, we will speak up. Our goal is zero casualties. And zero casualty means zero South Africans and zero Jews should become casualties in our beautiful community.
And of course, protecting the Jewish life and the Jewish way of life. It is 8:30. Stephen Goldberg, the chairperson of a CSO. Thank you for bringing us that update.